from Northern California. It's the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. Hear real stories from real inmates who want to write to you. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Thanks, Sean. Man, it's our brand new announcer here on the Penpals.buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast, Sean B., everybody. And it's so great to be back here in the studio. First show of 2025. We're going to call this the It Wasn't Me episode because we've got two men. Both claim they were wrongly convicted. Mark in Idaho, he says the DNA used to convict him was actually that of a Hispanic female. And then we've got Rich in Washington, who claims he was framed by the CIA for the axe murder of his mom and stepdad. And we'll start with Mark in Idaho. What happened, Mark?
My name is Mark Douglas Huber. I'm currently 62 years old. I'm in Idaho prison. I've been here for 14 years. I'm coming up on parole in another year and 4 months. And I'm going to tell you my story. You might have a hard time believing this story, but I'll tell you what. It is all true, and it can be verified. Every word of my story. I've not lied to anyone, anywhere along the way, at any time. I'm an innocent man, wrongfully convicted, and denied justice at every single level of the Idaho court system. I am factually innocent of the horrible crimes of rape and L&L. In 2010, I was accused and charged with these two crimes. I pled not guilty because I am not freaking guilty. A rape kit was performed on this alleged victim where they claimed DNA and the biological evidence of spermatozoan were allegedly recovered. On March 7th, 2011, the prosecutor disclosed this so-called evidence to my attorney and myself. At that time, I told my attorney that it was physically impossible for the DNA to have come from me because I had absolutely no physical contact with this alleged victim. I also told him that it was impossible for the spermatozoan to come from me because of the vasectomy I had 30 years prior to the incident, alleged incident. And what a vasectomy does is it cuts the tube out. You look at it like a garden hose. Mm-hmm. If you cut a foot out of a garden hose,
yeah,
melt both ends together, closed off, and tie a rope around both ends, there's nothing going to come out of the faucet, right? And it's been a successful vasectomy my entire life. In May 2011, I went to trial and was convicted, and I've been fighting for my life ever since. I've exhausted all my Idaho appeals, and the only thing they ever ruled on was procedural defects. Every level of the Idaho court refused to address the facts in the case and denied me counsel.
Let's just kind of put it in perspective for people that haven't been in the system, because I know, you know, they wouldn't understand. But let's say you have something that's just completely proven 100% factual, but the court tells you you have to write it in pencil, and instead we write it in pen. And so they see all of
that's
the
exactly
evidence in the
what it is.
In the pen, and they say, yeah, we see that you've proven this is 100% factual, but sorry, you wrote it in pen or pencil or whatever it was.
So
and
we're
it
not
took,
gonna,
it took you more than
fucking,
yeah, and it took you more than 30 days, and that was the 30-day time limit, and so you're effed.
It's exactly what they said. I mean, that's a perfect analogy.
And you tell them, let me go ahead and rewrite it in pen, and they're like, no, now it's been too long.
Fuck you. Get out of here. We don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney. I barely graduated from high school, but I did my best. And apparently my best wasn't good enough, and they knew that. That's why they wouldn't let me have an attorney to present these properly. Well, to this very day, I'm denied justice, and I remain convicted for crimes I did not commit.
What was their reason, Mark, for not letting you have an attorney?
The first one said that my claims were frivolous, and the second one didn't give a reason.
So they let you argue yourself, but they wouldn't let you have a public
they
defender?
They made me argue myself.
Wow.
I had one attorney in the beginning of my post-conviction, and he was doing everything right, but he fell sick. So I got a substitute that didn't do anything for me. And he let the expiration dates go by on all my hearings and everything, and just completely dropped the ball. And I had to argue from that point on my own. I've spent countless hours sitting at my fucking typewriter, typing and researching and closing down half the day room because I got my stuff all spread out. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've done my work. but I don't know the law, apparently.
When you first got pulled in and interviewed, when they were at first telling you they have these DNA reports and whatnot, what are you thinking at that time? Are you thinking, like, what was going through your head when they first kind of accused you of this?
What was going through my head?
Yeah.
I was fighting the whole way looking at it like, okay, if they found evidence on her, it's impossible for that evidence to come from me, you know? And that's the way I've been fighting it the whole time. Ever since day one, I've been claiming actual innocence.
Did you ever feel that they had some reason to target you for any reason?
Absolutely. They hated me in that Shoshone County.
Okay.
But it wasn't just the Shoshone County, because I got this little section written out about the Idaho State Crime Lab, because it wasn't just me, it was other people too. While I was incarcerated and speaking with other inmates convicted around that same time, we have all realized that several of us have the exact same DNA and biology reports. That's something that's not possible, to come up with the same reports, the partial profile of DNA and the single spermatoza.
When you're saying same report.
R-Y-L-E-N-E, Nolan, N-O-W-L-I-N, and Kerry Russell, K-E-R-R-Y, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, of the Idaho State Police Crime Lab in Meridian, Idaho, they both filed fraudulent reports. DNA report and the biology report. Intentionally, I think it was intentionally, to convict several innocent Idaho citizens, including myself. It's not just me. Raylene Nolan filed the DNA report of a partial profile from what I do know now to be a Southwestern Hispanic female.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the partial profile came from. And I didn't know that until we got the raw data.
A partial DNA profile that they said matched you, but was actually a Hispanic female.
Exactly. Exactly. Taking me 14 years to finally get that far.
When you were saying earlier that several different people had the same supposed match, was this the same person that was in all of their partial profiles?
I don't know. I haven't seen that. We're in the process of gathering that information now.
Clearly, you're not a Hispanic female. I mean, that's obvious.
Clearly, I'm not a Hispanic female. I'm a white, nearly 100% German male.
Wow. That's unbelievable, Mark. That's, wow.
That is unbelievable. And now, why didn't they say something like that at the trial? It's in Hampikian's report, but apparently they're not accepting his report as fact. They're skipping over that part. They're not even saying they see it. You know who Hampikian is? Greg Hampikian is the director of the Idaho Innocence Project.
Oh, yeah.
The world-renowned Hampikian. You know, he's the one that went to Italy to get that Amanda Knox out of prison.
Didn't they just shut that Innocent Project down temporarily because they ran out of funding or something? Something bad happened with that, right?
Yes. Yes, it did. And, I mean, I'm thankful that we got that affidavit from him that said this same stuff. But he never did go into and explain any of his report. And see, with the Southwestern Hispanic female, that Kerry Russell, she filed the fraudulent biology report claiming to have found the single spermatoza in order to deceive the jury into thinking it was from a male. Now, she says she found spermatoza, but there was no presence of the seminal fluid that the spermatoza is in. Now, this is really important, because this alleged victim claimed to have been ejaculated in four times, once in her mouth and three separate times in her vagina through intercourse. Then she goes on to say each intercourse lasted 3 to 4 minutes with a 1 to 2 minute break in between. That's three ejaculations in like 10 minutes, a little over 10 minutes. That's like something maybe Superman could do, but I know I could never do that.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's impossible. She also goes on to testify, too, that she didn't take a shower or change clothes, including her underwear and bra, between the alleged incident and the rape kit. So that kind of begs the question, where did all this evidence go? It's an impossible scenario, any way you look at it.
Did you have any connection to her? Did you know of the victim at all? So someone you never had heard of before?
I met her once before, and then that night I seen her. But it's like there's all kinds of questions that a guy can ask.
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering, but other than the fact they hated you, which is probably enough,
if you read the police report, mm-hmm. you see that the whole story, all the details, of the story came from, even my name came from a cop. Well, they were almost setting me up. That's what I...
They saw that you were somewhere in the vicinity, and then they said, oh, we're sure it was him, let's find some fake partial DNA match, and that way it'll seem official, is what it sounds like to me.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it right there.
And nobody, and I don't even I don't even really understand how the DNA, how that all works. So, I mean, you can spew that to the jury and say partial DNA, blah, 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 and show a bunch of...
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This Raylene Nolan gives her definition of consistent in one little paragraph, or one sentence. She says, the major profile was consistent with and matched to her. She says, consistent and matched. And then from there on, she says, and the minor profile was consistent with Mr. Huber, but not enough to say that it was his. Okay, check this out. Mm-hmm. She says she was ejaculated in three times in her vagina.
Yeah.
To make a full 32 allele profile, instead of this like a 6 profile, a full profile is 32 alleles. And it takes 1 nanogram of DNA to make a full profile. And in order to get a full profile, you could take, like, here's an example. You take a little bag of sugar off the table at a restaurant, and assuming it's got 1,000 individual granules in that bag, you take one of those granules out and sweep the rest away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you take that one granule and divide it into 1,000 pieces. And you divide one of those into 1,000 more pieces. Then you do it one more time. And finally, you are at 1 nanogram. Less than an eye can see is enough to get a full profile of 32 alleles.
And yours was less than that, right? I mean, what they said they found, that partial profile is even less than that.
Yeah. Hampikian kept saying it was, he felt it was contamination in the lab process.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was fake. These two ladies, this Raylene Nolan and Carrie Russell, their work has to go through a peer review. Okay, now what that is they have other people in their office that oversee what they've done and what they've wrote. Okay? So, it's like, how did it sneak past peer review?
I'm picturing like a guy in the office with one of those rubber stamps that you know, he gets a big file and he just goes like, boom, and he stamps his signature on it. You know, because you figure those guys aren't going to, you know, they call it peer review, but are they really going to spend 4.5 hours reading that document? They're probably thinking, man, I got my lunch break and, you know, I got the Rams game on at 6 o'clock. I got to get home, whatever it may be. You know, you go to any of your programming, your thinking for a change class or whatever, and they always have you write these essays about why the rules don't apply to me. And they always say, oh, inmates think the rules don't apply to them. But really, when you look deeper into the system, the rules don't apply to people like Raylene Nolan and Carrie Russell and the judges and the courts. They're the ones that just change the rules whenever they want so that there's absolutely no way to win. It's like the goalposts are moving.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're supposed to go.
Yeah, it's like they see it coming and they fucking move to the other side of the field.
And then they blame guys like you for... Oh, you were just too dumb to know the rules, or, you know, no matter what, they're going to just, you know.
And, they're going to make it sound like they're right and I'm wrong.
And I'm sure there's people listening and they're like, oh, yeah, this guy Mark, he's full of crap and blah, blah, blah. But just wait, because once it happens to them.
It's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, once it happens to you and then you're like, oh, shit, you know, I think he was telling the truth. But it takes that, because until it becomes personal. Until it's, you know, your family member, your daughter, your sister, you, yourself, whoever it might be that's affected, people just turn a blind eye.
That's where getting this out to everybody in Idaho could be make a difference, because right now we have a private investigator, okay,
uh-huh,
trying to search out all the other people in Idaho that have had this same thing happen to them. And she's good. She's going to find it. But it would sure make it a lot easier if some people would think, oh, God, I was convicted on a fucking single spermatoza. My son was convicted on a single spermatoza. My brother was convicted on a single spermatoza. Oh, wait, my dad was convicted on a single spermatoza.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's write this guy an email. Let's go to JPay and look up Mark Huber, and we'll send him an email. We'll give him the names. And then my attorney's private investigator will contact him.
You can't really communicate. You're there, and you got guys in Max, and you got guys at the farm, and you got guys at ISCI, and it's not like you can all just have a conference call on Skype and share your stories with each other. You only know the people that you know, and there's thousands of people there yep. in prison in Idaho. Man, if you
multiple
could find
thousands.
100 and people with the same thing, like, I mean, that would be unbelievable. You start getting like massive overturns.
They're counting on all these single spermatozoa guys not being able to contact each other or not talking about their case to each other, you know? It's like sex offenses aren't talked about in prison very much
right.
because, you know, we get our ass beat when nobody hears us even say that we are one, you know?
How do you keep all that, like, you deal with, I mean, this has been going on for multiple years, and I know you got to be pissed off at this point. Like, how do you keep that? How do you handle that, man? How do you deal with that rage?
You know what? That's difficult. I go to church, I read my Bible, and I work,
yeah.
and I work out.
Hmm.
And it's like, it's tough. I'll tell you what, it is really tough because if I think about it too much, I get amped up inside, you know, and I start getting ragey, you know, and it's like, I've always been a quiet, nice, decent person, but this is something that could change a guy. You know, you're raised to have faith in our judicial system, but when they go so far out of the lines,
mm-hmm.
it's like, it makes it hard to believe that they would do it.
I'm
just
glad.
Like my attorney, he wasn't totally sure of this either until last week when he finally seen it with his own eyes.
As screwed up as all of the legal stuff with Trump was over this past 4 years, I'm glad that the world is able to see, you know, through what happened with him, how the system can actually be. You know, as far as if someone just decides, if someone decides I'm going to convict you for this and they really want to, they'll just find a way to make it happen. And I think a lot of people did have faith in the system. A lot of people went to college and took criminal justice classes and studied all of the constitutional amendments and they learned things about search and seizure laws. But when, you know, it really comes down to it, most of that stuff isn't followed.
No, it's not even come close to following it. And this right to a fucking effective assistance of counsel,
mm-hmm.
what a crock of crap that is. I give my trial attorney almost $50,000.
Okay? Oh, man.
That's a lot of money. But to hand somebody $50,000 and have him gift wrap you for the prosecution, that's craziness. This alleged victim sitting on the stand, right? And she's asked, can you point out the guy that attacked you? She points at my attorney and says it was him. I try to get his attention because he's just drawing on a little piece of paper. And he's all like, grabs my hand and says, shut up, you know?
Uh-huh.
When you're sitting beside somebody and somebody's 10 foot away from you and they point at the guy next to you, you know what they're pointing at and you know what they're looking at.
If people are out there that hear this and they want to help you in whatever way, if they have resources or, you know, connections or legal or anything like that, how can they get in touch with you? What's the best way for that?
The best way to get in touch with me is through a JPay app.
And they
go to Mark D. Huber and get my IDOC number put in there. It's 55246.
And then they just put in Idaho, I think is what I, so 55246. And you tell them Idaho for the state, and then you should just pop up.
I should. I know this for sure, that there's four of us with the single spermatozoa and the partial profiles of DNA. I want to hear from anybody else in Idaho that has ever seen, you know, their biological report. Anybody that's had Raylene Nolan or Carrie Russell's name on their DNA report and biology report, I'd like to hear from them. Something's not right here.
Are the other three people with this same profile, are they at the same facility as you? Are they nearby? Do you know them?
They moved out. One guy skipped the country already, and the other guy just came through again. after getting violated on his parole, and they just moved him out to a different unit.
There might be a lot more than just those four. There might be 40 for all we know.
You know what? Montana just had the same problem. And they said there was over 1,000 cases that had to be revisited.
Can we get, before we go, just your mailing address there. If somebody has documents or anything else they could send that's like too big for JPay, it's, are you still at P.O. Box 70010?
Okay. Boise, Idaho, or 83707.
Okay, and just write Mark Huber and then that same number. Which...
Mark Huber, F215 Alpha.
Okay.
Is my bunk.
Okay, and we just want to, you know, spread this word and let people hear some truth out there. And Mark, I hope you'll keep in touch with any updates, and hopefully we can have a follow-up here.
It really does go beyond belief, because why would the entire police crime lab, the Idaho State Crime Lab, be falsifying reports like that? Why would they do that? Well, I don't know why. I think it's all about their conviction rate. I just know they did.
Over 2 million men and women are locked up in America. Most sit in their cells, alone, forgotten, given up on by society. Now you can change an inmate's life for the cost of a postage stamp. Increase their self-worth and help them succeed both in and out of prison. Visit penpals.buzz and search for a prison pen pal today. It's free and it's fun. Penpals.buzz, connecting inmates with the world.
All right, everybody, we're back. It's the penpals.buzz prison pen pal podcast, January 2025. It's good to be back here, I'm telling you. I've missed being here with all of you. If you'd like to be a guest here on the show with me, either in person or via telephone, 888-2-PEN-PAL. You can call us and let us know what you'd like to talk about on the show, or you can email us at podcast@penpals.buzz, and we'll get back to you, and hopefully we can schedule a time for you to come on here just like our guest today and tell your story. Now, our next guest was convicted 10 years ago of what they called an axe murder, murdering his mom and his stepdad up in Washington State. Rich Peronto is his name, and we're going to play a little clip of how they reported this story in the news. Then we're going to talk to him and hear his version of things. Let's listen.
New at 5:30, we just saw the man accused of killing his mother and stepfather in court.
The judge was so concerned about the community's safety, he ordered that suspect held without bail. Cairo 7's Henry Rossoff was in the courtroom and has been working to find out what police say led up to those killings. Henry?
Richard Peronto tried to hide his face in court, but we did get a quick glimpse of him as court officers were trying to handle him. We also have a better picture of him from Facebook. In court, his defense attorney alluded to possible mental health issues, but there was no talk about what led up to what he's being accused of, bludgeoning his mom and stepdad to death, then dumping them near the Duwamish waterway. Friends who showed up to court in support of him actually believe being locked up with no bail is the safest place for Peronto.
I'm afraid if he doesn't get help inside, that he's going to hurt himself, maybe hurt somebody else inside. And so I think right now the best thing is a no bail until they can get to the bottom of this.
His friends also say he's had psychotic episodes since his biological father died 4 to 5 years ago. But as far as what actually led up to what prosecutors say he did, none of that was in any of the court documents we pulled. We are waiting for charging documents. They're due in a few days, and hopefully that gives us some better idea of what police and prosecutors say this suspect did. Live in Seattle, Henry Rossoff, Cairo 7, Eyewitness News.
Hello, this is a free call from
Richard Peronto,
an incarcerated individual at Stafford Creek Correction Center. This call is not private. To accept this free call, press 1. To refuse this free call, press 2. You may start the conversation now.
Rich.
How's it going? Yeah, Rich Peronto's the name.
I'm so glad we finally got you to call in. I know you've been working. It looks like you've been working, I would estimate, like thousands of hours getting all of this evidence together. I mean, we just briefly looked through some of it. It was like unreal the amount of stuff you had.
Guilty people don't do what I do. A lot of people, it's funny, like in prison, you'll hear people say, hey, I'm innocent, and they're not doing nothing about it. But I've been blessed, and because I was a machine gunner in the Marine Corps, so imagine the mentality of someone that would join the Marine Corps in the first place and be a machine gunner.
You know, one of the goals of for us here is just to get everybody's story out there. We have, you know, over 1,000 members on our site, and a lot of them are looking for pen pals, as I think you are too. But we also want to kind of spread the word about what's really going on with you and what you're working on. And I think, my goal would be to get some other people to notice this story and start looking into, you know, what did really happen, what didn't happen. And then I know you have some YouTube channel and some, you have another link that's listed on penpals.buzz. So you go to penpals.buzz/inmate/rich-, and then your last name is Parentau. So if people want to go and find you on there, Rich Parentau. From that profile, there's a link to a tinyurl.com/ParentauRich, which also has a hell of a lot of evidence on there as well. So if people want to check that out. But how about for about 2 or 3 minutes before, and then I'll just let you do your thing. But could you just do like a brief, like a 2 minute summary of what you're there for, what's going on?
This is Rich Parentau. Hey, I'm from Seattle, Washington. And I got framed with two murders because I'm a CIA whistleblower. I was doing covert operations in the Marine Corps. And after I got out, I had the opportunity to do some secret scroll stuff. And I had the opportunity to work for one of the most evil organizations ever known to mankind, also known as the Criminals in Action, the CIA. And while I was working at the CIA, I became aware of a hospital that was doing covert cancer research studies on people, and it happened to be the same hospital my dad passed away at 10 months earlier, or a year earlier.
Oh, wow.
And I told him I was going to tell on him, and I told him that, hey, this is the deal. I'm gonna expose you. And they said, you do that, and we'll do this. And they ended up doing what they said they were going to do, and they framed me for it. So it's been a nightmare.
Now, you mentioned, Rich, in your profile on penpals.buzz, you mentioned that you were part of a classified program called Project MK Ultra. Is that the project you're talking about here?
No, the thing about it is when I threatened to expose them, I was taken to that same hospital that I was whistleblowing on, and they did an illegal surgery to me, and they put some devices in my body that should be put in. The locations they put in my body are not for the purpose that they're supposed to be put in.
Hmm.
And the only purpose was to torture and to intimidate me and retaliate against me for being a whistleblower. And that's the Project MK Ultra aspect of it. I became a victim of Project MK Ultra because of the devices they put in my body for the purposes they put them in are for pure torture.
Your mom and your stepdad were killed back in around 2014. And did they, so you're saying the CIA had them killed basically to get back at you for not following directives?
Well, my mom, my stepdad became aware of me being a whistleblower. I had to tell him, hey, why are these people messing with me? So I told him, hey, this is what happened. You know, I'm a whistleblower, and that's why the police have coming by harassing us. And I never got arrested for anything, but the cops were coming by messing with me and trying to intimidate me. And so I had to tell them about it. And because of their knowledge of what I knew, they were murdered. They had direct knowledge of the illegal surgery that was done to me. And they were contacting the FBI, and the FBI was hanging up on them. And at that point, they said, hey, you know, you can stay as long as you want. You just can't stay here. We can't have these people. These people are not answering the phone. This is bad news. You got to go. And then shortly thereafter that, they got murdered.
So it's one of those cases of the people that knew too much that we hear about so often.
The trafficking front that I worked at was called the Seattle News and Gospel Mission.
Mm.
When you use religion as a disguise, you know, it's one of the perfect fronts to have. And people, just because you walk around with a Bible and start ranting and raving about scripture, doesn't mean that you're incapable of doing evil things or committing crimes.
Did you finally get the, what was it, like a chip they put into you? Did you get that out finally?
No, I did not. They have refused to do any medical imaging on me because my defense was they were killed because of these devices in my body and because they knew about it. They refused to do any medical imaging on my body at my trial. Before my trial for part of my defense. And ever since, they have refused to do any medical imaging on me because once they do the medical imaging on me, it'll prove what I've been saying the whole time is true and correct.
That'd be the gotcha, right?
Well, that, like I said, I have my on my YouTube channel, the episodes I recommend to watch is episodes 15 and 16 first. And one of the things they did to shock my support and the potential jury, they made a false claim that I threw my mom off a bridge in Seattle, Washington, and they didn't show any evidence that she was actually thrown from the bridge, and they didn't do any investigation from the bridge. Just the prosecutor were just saying that she was thrown from a bridge, and they didn't show any pictures from on top of the bridge. And during that episode, I show all the documentation that proves that what they said was false.
Let me just give everybody the YouTube channel so they can go check this out. So youtube.com/@@ CIA whistleblower. youtube.com/@CIA whistleblower. And you've got 5 episodes up there now. I imagine you have others that are going to be posted, but there's episode 8, 10, 11, 15, and 16 that we look through. And you know what I found so fascinating was, along with the audio, most of these you're being interviewed and you're telling parts of your story, and then they're showing parts of the court documents or transcripts and sort of correlating that to what you're talking about so people can follow along. I think that was great how you organized those.
I wanted to show, instead of going, they did this and they did that, while I'm actually saying it, I'm showing documentation to corroborate what I'm saying is true and correct. And the truth always comes down the end. The thing about it, the people that I framed were making statements that were absolutely not true. Sometimes you get found out you're lying. And when you lie concerning a murder, you're trying to hide who actually killed them and how they were killed.
There was so much. I mean, you'd have to study this for years. But one thing that jumped out at me was something about your stepdad and a broken skull. The coroner said that he died because of skull fractures, but the reality was there were no skull fractures.
That's right. I talked about that on episode 16. I provide the x-ray that was taken by the medical examiner. During the testimony of the medical examiner, he's going, he suffered skull fractures. They falsely claimed that my stepdad was murdered with an axe. So if someone's 5'8", like myself, and I was 195 pounds at the time, and if you attempt to hit somebody over the head with an axe to cause serious bodily injury, also known as kill them, you'd slice right through their skull. And when he was testifying about he died from skull fractures, they didn't even show the skull x-ray because the skull x-ray that I show on this video doesn't have any fractures to his skull at all.
So I just want people that are listening to this, go on to penpals.buzz, search for Rich, and you can read your pen pal profile, which also has links to all of this stuff, including your YouTube channel. Actually, I think we got to add your YouTube channel onto that profile, but we've got your tiny URL link in there. We've got your address, and if people want to contact you directly, probably securistech.net, and the Securis app is the easiest way to get through to you. But what about postal mail? If someone just wanted to write you and learn more about all this, how can they contact you?
Richard Pronto, my last name is spelled P-A-R-E-N-T-E-A-U, and you put like a little number sign next to my name, and it's you put number 404-758, and on the second line, if you're writing me, you'd put Stafford Creek Correction Center, and the third line, you'd put 191 Constantine Way, and the next line, you put Aberdeen, Washington, 98520. But I wanted to make sure on this YouTube channel, it's /www.youtube.com/@, and the next 4 letters are capital letters, CIAW, lowercase letters here on out, HISTLEBLOWER. And you have to review episodes 15 and 16 first, and then you'll understand everything else. That, you know, once you tell a lie, what makes you believe that they're telling the truth on anything else?
Anyone that didn't catch that or too many capital letters or whatever, we'll have a direct link right from your profile on penpals.buzz. And man, we have a lot of members that are from Stafford Creek Correction Center. Lots of good people there that have been nice to us and good to us. And if this is all true, man, I'm sorry, you've got to be there with them, but hopefully we can get this word spread out there, and the more people that can see the truth. I mean, what would be your recourse if enough people finally see this and they're saying, man, this guy was really framed? Like, what happens next? You got to wait for an appeals process? Or
all charges would be dismissed and I'd be released immediately. It wouldn't be there like a pardon. No, this is people have to force the King County Prosecutor's Office to dismiss these charges against me. The evidence is overwhelming. I have more episodes that's going to prove that there was no DNA leaking me to any of the location sites. It was just absolutely absurd how I got absolutely screwed in the court proceedings. It was unreal.
Yeah, that's, they have a way to do that, don't they?
Yeah, if the government wants you, ask Donald Trump. If they want you, they come after you, and he had felonies, and that's what happens when the government wants you.
I really wish, the best for you, and I hope we can get this word out, and no matter what, I hope people, go and check out Rich's profile and write to him and learn more about what's going on here. I feel like you'd be a good friend and a great person to write to as well.
All right, thank you.
Take care of yourself.
Most definitely, Steve, most definitely.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back soon with another edition of the PenPals.Buzz Prison Pen Pal podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.Buzz is a division of SnapTura Inmate Services.